Patricia, can you just say something to make sure I can? You don't have to get too close.
Oh, okay. Birds of Farm.
Okay, good. Just count for me.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Good. Good, good. I'm going to put it on pause.
That's
so
the first test on
yeah.
You passed.
You know how to count the five.
Right. Running. Yep, okay. So I just wanted to say for the record that I'm here at Birdswood Farm on Monday, the 26th of March, 2007. Here to talk a little bit with the three of you, and I'll get you to identify yourselves for the record, and about some of the background of Birdswood and some of your ideas and some of your experiences. So let's one at a time. Dooley, why don't you say your full name and just tell a little bit about your full name and Patricia, and then I'll come back and ask you some questions, okay?
My name is Dooley Tengeler, officially Kirsten Tengeler, and I'm here since 1991, farming originally from Germany.
Yeah, and would you spell your name for me, please, just for the record?
Dooley is D-U-L-L-I. Tengeler is T-E-N-G-E-L-E-R.
Okay, and you said officially?
Kirsten, K-E-R-S-T-I-N.
Great, okay, thanks.
And my name's Patricia Endres, E-N-D-R-E-S. I came to Birdswood as an apprentice in 1986. And what else was I supposed to tell you? That's about it.
That's for now, because I'm going to get
all
to
right,
talk
more.
I'm Steve Molnar, M-O-L-N-A-R. I've lived here since 1988. I'm a school teacher at Little River Community School, which is also here at Birdswood for finishing up our 8th year.
Okay, great. Good, good. Well, let's start with the longest. Patricia, you're the longest resident, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to ask you similar questions to each of the three of you, but I'm going to ask you first. Tell me a little bit more about yourself before you ever came here. What did you live your own background? And
well, I was raised on Long Island, Hicksville, Long Island, and we didn't travel very much. But I always knew that there were mountains well to the north. So when I chose to go to college, one of my goals was to experience something very different. And I ended up in Plattsburgh. And while I was in Plattsburgh studying sociology and criminology, I learned all about the Adirondack Mountains. And so that was my introduction to the area. And after college, I traveled and worked. Mainly, I went, spent some time in Alaska, and I returned to the Albany area. And after a year or so working in my field, I decided that I wanted to return to the Adirondacks. Actually, I had been doing outdoor education with youth and was pursuing some work in the Adirondacks. And it was at that time, it was not very friendly to women in the field. And the only other option I had developed for myself was the apprenticeship program here with the Rural Life Association, which is no longer exists. However, at that time, there was a network of rural homesteaders here in the area who would take interns or apprentices, as we called them at that time. So, after some correspondence between Doug Jones, David Duff, I think were the two people who mostly I was corresponding with, I came up to this area, and I spent the spring and most of the summer at many different farms, all family farms, and with the Montans and shearing sheep. There was a greenhouse, Phoenix Greenhouse at that time in Madrid, and I spent time here. I came here for the fall in 1986. I was here for a little while in spring, came in the fall, spent the winter doing some homesteading, and then came back to live on a permanent basis in 87.
And you've been here since?
And I've been here ever since. I had no idea that was going to happen. But it did. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Good, good. And Steve?
I have been a school teacher, an alternative school teacher. Came to the North Country in 1980 to teach at Beaver Creek School in Macomb. Excuse me.
Bless
you. That school closed a couple of years later. I moved to DeKalb, which actually Patricia and I lived on the same farm in DeKalb. And I was just familiar with the homesteading kind of community because those were the people that built Beaver Creek School. You know, so I knew homesteaders in Massey, homesteaders in Old DeKalb. And through all those people, I got to know the people at Birdsfoot Farm. When I ended up moving here in 88, I knew everybody here, so it was a pretty easy move. It was just really moving in with friends at that time.
And you were born and brought up where, you say?
My folks live in Maryland. Before coming to the North Country, I'd gone to school and worked at an alternative school in Michigan. And then really it was this homesteading lifestyle and people involved in Beaver Creek that enticed me up here. I found just the region really beautiful, and then it was sort of a kind of lifestyle that I was personally looking forward to. I mean, Beaver Creek School was an ideal kind of rural location, and that was a school where the parents have built the building, and as a teacher I had a little apartment upstairs in the building. It was really a pretty cozy situation. I'd say throughout the middle of the 80s I had done a lot of work in Central America, and was also working just locally with people with the Central America Peace Project. Certainly had lots of connections with Birdsfoot then during that time period too. So.
Good. Julie?
Well, I grew up in Hamburg, Germany, big city, and started to love farming at age 10 when we visited a farm on the Baltic Sea where we did our summer vacations, and they had cows, and I got into milking cows. And then after high school, I did a two-year apprenticeship, formal apprenticeship in Germany. And after that, I traveled for a year in Scotland, Wales, and Ireland, visiting farms, working as I visited. And then went to college for farming, for agriculture in Bitzenhausen, Germany. And part of that study was to do another internship somewhere which was supposed to be related to farming, not actual farming, because we're going to be engineers. But if you went abroad, you could do farming. And so I came to the States as to be abroad and then visited farming communities, because at the time I already knew how much work it is, and that it's easier to do it together than alone. And Birdsfoot was one of the communities. And I stayed here for 6 weeks as an intern and came back, fell in love with Steve, and came back the following year to live here after, you know, immigration and whatever, taking care of that. And yeah.
And you've been here since.
And I've been here since.
Okay. Now the community was founded when? What year do you know?
72.
Yeah, I believe so.
And how many? I mean, this I'm sure I'll learn some of this from Doug, but I just don't know. I wondered how much of this you knew, because how much this information was passed down within the group. You know, like, why did they find it? Why did they found Birdsfoot?
My understanding from Doug's stories is that, he attended Harvard in Massachusetts, and in his senior year, he had moved to a more rural commune, and he finished his time there. And there was a group that was doing community there. I think there was one person who owned the land. At some point when she asked them all to leave and it began to fall apart, there were people who he knew that were talking about purchasing this from the Cotters. I believe from the Cotters, maybe. I don't think there was anyone.
No, it was directly.
And they said, hey, gee, your community's falling apart. We just want to start one. Why don't you come here? And I think that's what happened. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot more details within his stories. But so he arrives, and I think with two or three of other people from the Massachusetts community. And that was in flux for a little while. But at that time, it was very active in the area. I mean, I'm told there were 12 very active communes in the area at one time during the 70s. And I think there was a lot of interaction between them. And so I think that's how some of the other people who maybe we know, I don't always recognize all the original names that Doug would have spoken of, but I do know some of the people who, through all that interacting and that good time, they shared a lot of work and partying and things like that. And then so at some point it settled into a group here, and I actually think the original people who called him up to come, I actually think they left not too long after. After that began. But, so then I think they ended up with a good, maybe 10 or a dozen or so. We probably could put our brains together.